In the book of Hebrews, the apostle writes, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. We've just finished chapter 11 of Hebrews in the reading. If we had read that portion and part of it was assigned for today, it would have taken us through some of the mighty acts of some of those saints who have gone before us in this life. Fellows such as Gideon and Deborah and David and Noah and Enoch and so many others who make up the great cloud of witnesses from the Old Testament. These individuals, these faithful individuals, these people of faith who witness to the love and the presence and the power and the majesty and the rulership and the kingship of God in their lives. And having this cloud of witnesses to witness to the power of God and the truth of the faith, we should lay aside, he first says, we should lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Let's take the first part of that verse. Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Weights, sin, clinging closely. What wonderful language that speaks and reflects the truth of our lives as Christians and as saints and as sinners. All three together. The weight of this life, the weight of the concerns of this life, the weight of the concerns of family and friends and nations, the weight of the concerns of what you're going to eat tonight and what you're going to wear and where you're going to live and what you're going to do and how you're going to earn your money. The weight of health. Am I going to feel good enough this morning to get up and come to church? Am I going to feel good enough tomorrow morning to get up and go to work? Am I going to feel good enough to get up and go and do what I know I must do to live from day to day? The weight of cares and concerns, the weight of fear, the weight of depression, the weights that pull us down from day to day, because there is a great cloud of witnesses, none of whom were perfect. Even Enoch, who walked and talked with God and was not, for God took him. We know other things about Enoch. We know he wasn't perfect. He had weights that weighted him down too. Noah had weights that weighted him down. David had a lot of weights that weighted him down, and so did Solomon. And so did Gideon, and so many of the others that are mentioned in the 11th chapter, the Hall of Faith in Scripture. So many of these characters had weights that weighted them down, and yet it did not stop them from living in faith, acting in faith. And with that cloud of witnesses witnessing to the faith of God, we should set aside, lay aside, cast off of our shoulders the weights that weigh us down. Oh, I don't feel like going to church today. My back hurts. My leg hurts. My head hurts. My tummy hurts. My heart hurts. I can think of lots of things that hurt, friends. And every one of them is a call to come here. Every one of them is a call to come here. Can I get an amen? Thank you. We make up excuses for why, oh, we shouldn't go to church today. Every one of those excuses is the reason you should be there. Every one of those weights is a weight that needs to be cast off your shoulder and you should step out in faith. As those in the Hall of Faith did, so should you. But it's not just the weights. Oh, the weights are wonderful. They're great excuses. You can come up with all sorts of weights, giving you all sorts of reasons why you shouldn't be about the Christian life. But my friends, each and every one of them is a lie. Oh yeah, it may be true your back hurts. It may be true your head hurts. It may be true your heart hurts. But my friends, those are excuses. They are the reasons we should be here. Cast them aside. Set them aside. Knock them off your shoulders. And move forward. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Those weights often lead us to sins, friends. And sin, it's a wonderful mental image. The sin that clings so closely. Clings so closely that it is literally molded to your very living. The sin that clings so closely and will not let go. The sin that you can have trouble distinguishing from your very self. Set it aside, the apostle writes. Set it aside. Along with those weights that weigh us down, set aside the sin that clings so closely. Well, how do I do that? Sometimes we set aside that sin by first recognizing it as sin, knowing that sin is wrong, and then turning it over to God. Recognize it as sin. We're good at fooling ourselves that it's not sin. Recognizing that it's sin. Accepting the fact that it is a sin that you need to get rid of. And turning it over to God. Set aside the weights that weigh you down and the sin that clings so closely. It's not easy, my friends. This sin clings closely. Sins have a habit of doing that. So much so that you can't get them off. You can't peel them off easily. Yet the apostle says, set it aside. Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Don't just, oh, okay. I think I'll quit. No, run with perseverance. I'm reminded of those. I was watching the Olympics yesterday, and I was watching these guys on these bikes. And I heard, well, you can't have the Olympics in Dallas, especially not the Summer Olympics, certainly not the Winter Olympics. You can't have the Olympics in Dallas because it's too hot. It was 97 degrees in Athens yesterday. And here are these guys out there riding these bikes, and none of them have an ounce of fat on them, friends. Not even an ounce of fat. And they're out there riding, and they're sweating like crazy, and they're throwing water at them, and they're drinking water and putting ice on their backs and riding like crazy. One lap, and I'd be dead. I was just amazed for 5-6 hours. Around and around and around and around. Athens on this bicycle race. Every one of those, even those who tumbled and fell and broke bones, every one of those riders, the huge pack of riders, 70 or more riders, none of whom was ever going to win, and they knew it, and yet they got out there and they ran that race with perseverance. Winning had nothing to do with it. They ran the race. They rode the race, in this case, with perseverance. Persevering. What an interesting word. It means to have tenacity, to not give up. To persevere means to see something through to the conclusion. To persevere means to stick to it until the end. Sin perseveres with us. We have to get rid of it. We know we do, and only God's grace can do that. Unfortunately, we are really good at persevering in sin. We're not supposed to be. It's supposed to be the other way around.
We're to persevere in this race, this life. And that's what the Christian life is, a race. We're to persevere in this race that is set before us. As those riders on that race in the Olympics, on their bikes, persevered despite the hardship, but despite the heat, despite the dust. I saw one take his helmet off, and you could see the patterns, the vents in his helmet. And when he took his helmet off, you could see the patterns on his bald head of the dust from those streets there in Athens that was sticking to his head because of all the perspiration. Despite the dust, despite the heat, despite the difficulty of the course, despite the problems that they all encountered while riding this race, despite flat tires, despite broken chains, despite the difficulties of riding that race, these guys rode that race to the end. They persevered. And by glorious joy, one of them won it. And it was an amazement to see. We are called to persevere into the end. And that can be so very hard. We can get so very tired. We can become weary in well-doing. My friends, the calling that we have is simple. Set aside the weights that weigh us down and the sin that clings so closely to us, and run with perseverance, stick-to-itiveness, the race that is set before us. And finally, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Now, that's an interesting collection of words there. And I took a look at it in the original language in Greek. Hebrews has some of the hardest Greek in the entire New Testament. And so it was a challenge for me as I sat down and I read through it and I took the words apart. And I was amazed at some of the word choices that the apostle made. For instance, that word pioneer, the King James says author. Some of the translators say author as well. The King James says author. The NASB says author. The NRSV says pioneer. The word is the same word for in Greek for ruler, prince, originator, founder, one who begins something. In other words, you could say, looking unto Jesus, the prince of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the originator of faith. Looking unto Jesus, the founder of faith. Somebody said to me one day, I was on an airplane flying somewhere, and this person was not an American, and she and I were chatting, and she asked me what church I belonged to. And I said, well, I'm a United Methodist. And she said, who was the founder of your church? And the little sarcastic little voice in my head said, Jesus, you know. That's not what she wanted to know. And I actually said, well, Jesus is the founder of the church, universal. John Wesley was the man who founded the Methodist movement within the Church of England, which then resulted, after the Revolutionary War, in the Methodist Episcopal Church here in the United States, from which the United Methodist Church comes. And so we had a nice little conversation. Jesus is the founder of our faith, the pioneer of our faith, the author of our faith, the prince and ruler and leader of our faith. I just think that word's a fantastic word that he uses here, and it's often underplayed here. Looking unto Jesus, the prince. The prince. Now, what's the second word here that is used? Some translators translate it perfecter, some completer, some finisher. The word is the same word based in Greek upon the word for the end. He's the ender, the end goal, the objective, the finisher, the one who actually brings it to completion, the completer, the perfecter, the one who makes it perfect. He is the prince and the conclusion, the starter and the ender, the author and the finisher of our faith. Isn't that something?
He is the one who begins it, and he is the one who completes it. He is the one who starts it, and he is the one who brings it to fruition, to completion, to perfection, to wholeness. He is the prince, the ruler, the guide, as well as the perfection of our faith. But not our faith only, because in many translations it says, the author and the finisher of our faith, the perfecter of our faith. In the Greek, there is no our. There is no pronoun meaning our. It's simply the author and the finisher, the founder and perfecter of faith. Now, our is implied and included, but it's not just our faith, friends. It's faith, period. He is the author and the finisher, the founder and perfecter, the prince and the completion of faith. Is he the prince and completion of your faith? Is it towards him that your race is tending? I mean, we can be running a race. We can set aside the weights. We can set aside the sin that clings so closely. We can run a race with great perseverance. But if we're not running towards Jesus, then what good is it going to do us? Where is your faith focused? Who is the perfecter of your faith? Who is the author of your faith? Are you riding towards Jesus? Or are you riding another direction? Well, what harm does it do if I'm not riding towards Jesus so long as I'm kind of riding in his general direction? Sorry, friends, it's a two-way road. You can go towards Jesus or towards the other guy. All right? Let me be more blunt. You can ride to Jesus or to Satan. Those are your choices. Where is your focus? Towards whom are you riding? You may be going with perseverance, but are you persevering towards sin? Or are you persevering in your race towards Jesus? That's a question today, friends. It's a question that should kind of ping at you. You may be sitting there going, ooh, I wish he hadn't asked that question. Ooh, he's stepping on toes today. Ooh. I don't want to think about that one today. Sorry, friends. That's what the Scripture's given us today. Towards whom are you riding? Are you riding towards Jesus in this race that we've been given? And despite the difficulties, are you persevering on? Or have you sat down by the road, tired and worn out, depressed and dejected? I'm alone and I'm tired of doing this on my own. I'm tired. I just don't see any purpose in this. Are you giving up? Or are you continuing on the race? Know what the author says here. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. Who for the sake of joy, notice that, who for the sake of joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You know, this Christian life is not always easy. Indeed, it can be very difficult. It can be very difficult to step out in faith, not knowing if there's going to be anything underneath you. It can be very difficult to act in faith, not knowing if there's going to be someone with you to go on the journey with you. We need to have the faith to know that even if there's not another person, there is the person of Jesus with us, underneath us, girding us, upholding us, and leading us forward. Well, that's not always easy to see and feel and know him. Yes, that's true. Sometimes we have a dry valley to go through. But it's in those moments that faith is called on. Faith in things unseen. And in the one who is unseen and sometimes unfelt. Hear what the Word says about the promises of Christ, that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and step out in faith. with your eyes fixed on the one who founded your faith, and run with perseverance the race that is set before you. And even if it's a cross that you have to bear, bear it with faith, with perseverance, and move on towards Jesus. That's the advice today that the apostle gives us. It's the advice that I give unto you. It may not be easy. Oh, I know it's not easy, friends. I woke up this morning and thought to myself, do I really want to go to church today? What if I were to lay right here and not get up and not shower and not get dressed and not go up to church? What would happen? And Jim said to me, Jim would go crazy. Yeah, probably would. That's not an option, friends. And it's not just not an option because I am your pastor and your shepherd and take seriously the calling of being a shepherd. It's also not an option because I need this place. I need worship. I need prayer. I need the sacraments. I need the scriptures. And I need you. We all should feel that way. I am your shepherd, your pastor. That's what that word means, pastor, by the way. It means shepherd. I am your shepherd. I care for you. I see a wolf wandering around trying to devour you, and I want to shoo him away. But it's sometimes hard to do when you've gone astray. And so, like Jesus, I sometimes have to go after a straying sheep. My friends, when you feel those weights weighing you down, when you feel that sin clinging so closely, it's in those moments that you need to be here. It's in those moments that you need to be at this rail. It's in those moments that you need to be in prayer. It's in those moments that you need to hear the scriptures read. It's in those moments that you need to come to the table and receive Holy Communion and be infused by His grace yet again. It's in those moments, my friends, that you need to be here. Well, my life isn't right. My life isn't right, and I can't come unless my life is right. Sorry! Guess what? Yeah, life ain't going to be completely right until you're over there. You don't want to wait until you're over there to be here, do you? No. My friends, when your life isn't right, it's when you need to be here. In worship, in prayer, receiving the grace you need to make your life right. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad I'm here today. May the grace of God always empower us, even when this cross is heavy to bear. May the grace of Jesus Christ empower us to run this race with our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, and to run this race with perseverance. For God's grace can and will bring it. Open your heart to Him again and receive it anew, afresh. And allow Him to empower you this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.